Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Crawford on B-Ball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night where we talk about all levels of basketball. And it's a lot of fun. We bring on a lot of great guests. And we learn a lot about basketball and all the other good stuff that goes along with this great game. Of course, I am Greg Crawford, and I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. There's only one C in there. And then you can also follow me at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress, WORDPRESS.com. And I write in there often. I cover a lot of basketball. I cover a lot of golf. I cover a lot of sports business and among other things, and also have my world famous power rankings, especially when it comes to a lot of levels on basketball, and they are world famous, and I appreciate it. They're only world famous because they have a lot of readers and get a lot of comments and everything, and I definitely appreciate that, and I appreciate you listening to this show. And also remember, when it comes to Blog Talk Radio, if you can't listen live, you can listen around the world at any time to that show forever. So it's a lot of fun to be on Blog Talk Radio and appreciate the opportunity. We are awaiting our special guest tonight, who is going to be Scott Garson. He is the head men's basketball coach at College of Idaho, and he has done a terrific job over there of getting the College of Idaho on the map. I mean, he really has. He's changed the culture at College of Idaho, and that's really important in a head coach. So Scott is going to join us very shortly, and I think he's here right now. And if I can bring him up here, it's always a pleasure to talk to him. And Scott, how are you tonight? Nice to talk to you. And of course, I mentioned before, Scott is the head men's coach at College of Idaho in beautiful Caldwell, Idaho.
Doing great, Greg. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. And I'll start out with a little different question, Scott. I just got done doing my Tyler Gebbing show with Tyler Gebbing, the men's coach at a head men's coach at Portland State University. And we were talking about his kind of legendary assistant, Jeff Hironaka, maybe five things that didn't know about Jeff. And a couple of them, I didn't know that he only eats one meal a day and he only sleeps 4 hours a day. But what's maybe one thing that even your loyal fans at College of Idaho or people that know you might not know about you that you'd kind of like to tell them?
Well, first of all, Jeff Hironaka is from Weezer, Idaho. He's from very close to here. So, I've known Jeff for a long time. He is a legendary assistant coach and a great, great guy. So he's an Idaho man. But I'm definitely not on the Jeff Hironaka diet. I do not only eat one meal a day. I need to slow it. What I need to do is eat one less meal a day. So, I'm on the old Rick Majerus diet, unfortunately, right now, my mentor, and I need to make sure that I'm exercising. If I could exercise half as much as Jeff Hironaka, I'd be in unbelievable shape.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up. He's run 6 to 7 miles a day every day for 26 straight, every day. Yeah. Incredible.
Incredible. Incredible.
He's actually
gotten his runs in. People have caught him doing runs, with Division I level. You're flying around so much recruiting. And I've heard stories about Jeff. I haven't seen it myself, but being stuck in an airport for a while and getting his run in the airport and just running around in circles in a terminal. Unbelievable.
He is unbelievable. Scott, speaking of unbelievable, you've done a believable job at College of Idaho. Congratulations. In my estimation, you changed the culture. You're on the map. You're a game that a lot of people circle every year when they're going to play you. They may not admit it, but I know factually they do. And how so far is 15-16 going for you? You got a couple games under your belt, and what's good? What needs to improve? I won't say what's bad because I never think anything's bad.
Well, we've got a lot to replace from last year. We graduated 4 starters and 6 of our top 7 players, so we have a whole new crew here this year. And one of the guys that's been really good, our only returning starter, Joey Nebaker, who was a transfer for us last year from Boise State, and he's a redshirt junior this year, and he was the conference player of the week last week at the Cascade Conference, averaging 30.5 points a game. He's averaging over 25 a game right now. So we've got a player that's as good a player as there is in the NAI, anywhere in the NAI. And that's going to serve us well as we go forward for sure, because he's a very difficult matchup. We have a very young group. Our starting center, Aziz Leek, who we brought in from Snow College, tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. So we're trying to figure out and put the pieces together a little bit right now early in the season and figure out what our identity is. And one of the things that's been good in the games that we've won so far is we've shot the 3-ball really well. And I think going forward, that's going to be something that's going to be very important for us, is to make threes. I think we can be one of the better 3-point shooting teams in the country. Defensively, we're a little undersized, so we're having to do some different things defensively. And I think we're still finding our identity there right now. In the past couple of years, with the size that we've had, our man-to-man defense, we were able to funnel everything into our big men and really control the inside and control the boards and block a lot of shots. But that's not something we're going to be doing this year. And so we're finding some different ways to see how we can put a few stops together. And I think we're going to be very difficult to guard at the end of the day, but I think we'll be a good team. I think we'll be very competitive in another very, very competitive Cascade Conference this year.
Scott, you'll be interested to know that I just kind of checked the stats here, which I can do. We have people listening in 11 countries tonight to this show and a huge audience. And I think, we got a lot of basketball fanatics out there, especially got a huge audience tonight listening in Australia. And I wanted to ask you, talking about the 3-point shot, in order for that to be effective, and you're a very skilled basketball coach and successful coach, how many good 3-point shooters do you really need on the floor of the 5? Do you need 3? Do you need 2? Do you need 5 to make the 3-point shot an effective weapon?
Well, I think, shooting is a very, very important skill. I think the more you have on the floor, the more difficult you are to guard. Frankly, now, last year we had a good 3-point shooting team, but we only had, we'd have 2 to 3 guys that could really shoot the ball on the floor at the same time at the most. But we were so good inside that teams were sucked in and those guys were able to get open shots all the time. This year, we have 5 3-point shooters on the floor at one time. So we're very, very difficult to run around and guard. But what you don't get when you have that is you usually don't have the kind of – without the size, you don't get the easy buckets inside when shots aren't going down, because no matter how good a 3-point shooting team you are, I mean, sometimes, you go into a rut where you're not knocking down shots and you need to get something easy, whether it's on an offensive rebound or just dumping the ball inside to the post. And so, but I think the more guys you have out on the floor that can shoot the ball, the better. I mean, you look at the Golden State Warriors last year in the NBA Finals, and they were playing small ball. Draymond Green was playing a lot of minutes at the 5. He was coming in for Andrew Bogut, and that's the way they were going most of the series. And so they had 5 guys that could shoot it on the floor. And, Cleveland had no answer for how to guard that. The Mozgov's having to come outside. And when you got guys that are that good of shooters, the more the merrier. And that's kind of how we're going to be playing this year. I mean, we're going to be firing away, and if they don't go down, we're going to be in for a long night. But I think more nights than not, they will be going down. And it's the 3-point shot is such a dangerous weapon. It really is. It can get you, you can get on a run real, real fast and put a lot of points on the board in a hurry. You can also get back into games quickly by hitting a 3-ball. And it's really changed the game, and the way you look at basketball right now is all trending towards more and more 3-point shooters. The 3-point shot is a higher percentage than anything outside of shots in the basket area. You look at the NBA statting everything, and You know, a three-point shot is about a 40% shot, especially the corner threes is actually about 41%. The mid-range shots are all barely over 40% shots as well, but they're only worth more, as the three-pointers are worth three. So obviously it's, you're better off shooting a three-point shot than a mid-range jump shot. And then the highest field goal percentage is 60-plus percent, which is in around the basket within 4 or 5 feet of the basket. So the game is really trending toward getting shots either close to the basket or outside the three-point shot. Outside the three-point line.
Scott, for people that don't know, I know you know, I'm one of those dreaded Glenfield Wildcat graduates, and I can remember going to games all 4 years. I went to Linfield in the late 60s, early 70s, where we went to College of Idaho, and there were more Linfield people in the stands than College of Idaho people, and that's a fact, but now you have an atmosphere. Describe to people that maybe haven't been to a College of Idaho game what it's like. You have a packed house, an atmosphere, a fanatic fan base. It's tremendous.
Yeah, no, we led the country in attendance last year in the NAIA, and hoping to do so again this year. Our entire reserve seat section is sold out. You can't buy a reserve seat for any of our games this year. And the only thing you can get is a general admission pass. We have a student section that refers to themselves as the Yote Fam. And the Yote Fam is awesome, and they're in full force every night. And, you know, we're really excited because this Friday we start a stretch of 6 straight home games. And so, you know, the atmosphere is tremendous. It's as good a small college basketball atmosphere as you can get. Well, frankly, it's better than a lot of Division I atmospheres. I mean, we averaged more people per game last year than over 100 Division I schools. So, almost everybody in the Big Sky Conference had less people at our games than us, you know, with the exception of, you know, a couple, Montana and Weber State and those guys. But other than that, we had a lot of people coming to our games. So it's really a lot of fun. It's kind of become the thing to do now in Caldwell is to go to the basketball games on Friday and Saturday nights and be there and get ready to get loud and get rowdy and watch the Yotes try and get a W.
And I imagine parlaying that, you know, with your success, and it kind of allows you to bring in some top caliber, scheduling's so tough in every sport, but some top caliber opponents in the non-league season from year to year.
We've got an unbelievably tough schedule this year. This weekend we play Montana Tech from the Frontier Conference, who's always a good team, and then we play Metro State from Denver, who, as you probably know, is like the Duke of the NCAA Division II level. I mean, they win a national championship every few years. They're phenomenal. And they're going to be here Saturday night. And then we play our crosstown rivals, Northwest Nazarene, is also NCAA Division II, very good. Then we play LC State at home, who's picked to win the Frontier Conference. Then we open up conference with Eastern Oregon, who's really good. So, I mean, we've got some really good opponents coming in. And I think our fans are really excited about that. And I love that. I mean, I want to play good teams. I like, you know, our team, we got kind of an inexperienced group this year, a group that's still finding itself. But you know what? We better find ourselves quickly because we got good teams coming up. And that's going to prepare us so much better for conference. I'm not into playing a bunch of teams that we know, even if we don't play well, that we can win the game. I want teams that we have to play well to beat. And, you know, that's what my philosophy has been at least the first couple of years here, and hopefully that works out okay for us this year.
Scott, I'm well aware, being involved in basketball pretty heavily for 55 years now, that it's a team game. And you got a team of coaches, and you got a team, and you work together. But on a personal growth nature, what are you kind of working on in 15, 16? And I know every coach worth their salt wants to personally grow as well along with their team.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I mean, it's learning how to handle having the target on our back that we have with a whole new group and trying to figure out how to coach a new group. And this is a very different group than what I've had the past 2 years as a head coach. I mean, not having a true big man, not having a true post player, having a bunch of kind of maybe smaller group, but a bunch of guys that shoot the three ball. We're playing a completely different brand of basketball. Even though we've always been an up-tempo brand, it's a different kind of up-tempo. The way we're shooting the three ball this year, how we're having to scheme to defend things. It's completely different, and I'm learning and growing every day. And you know, John Wooden had a great quote, Coach Wooden, and that was, you know, if I'm through learning, I'm through. And I think he's right about that. I mean, nobody's done learning. If you're done learning, you may as well be done with what you're doing, because nobody knows everything. And I think we're each and every day is a learning process. I mean, I'm learning more and more about this team. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, it's difficult. It's not easy because, you know, if you have, especially in college, I mean, at the pro level, I mean, if you re-sign your guys, you got the same team you did the year before, and you have a good feel for guys. But the college level, you graduate guys, and you're going to have new players coming in. And that's kind of what's happened for us this year. And this is my first time going through that, where I've had a large graduating class that were the major contributors to our team. So it's kind of like starting all over again. And this is the least amount of senior. We don't have any seniors on our team that were major contributors last year. So we have no seniors with major game experience. And that's a first for me. And so I'm learning how to work with a young team and how to get that young team to get the most out of them and see how quickly we can get them to learn and grow and understand the kind of sense of urgency that you have to have each and every possession to be able to win. That's such a small margin between winning and losing at any level. And I think that's something that takes young players a little time to figure out.
Scott, I would be horribly remiss and embarrassed if I didn't mention Jeff Lavender, who helps you and really supports me in my efforts to promote small college basketball in the Pacific Northwest. So how's Jeff doing? And it's probably good to have him around. And it's also good to have his basketball knowledge.
Well, I don't know where I'd be without Jeff Lavender. I mean, he's phenomenal. He was my first boss in coaching. I was a high school JV coach, and he was the varsity high school coach at Santa Barbara High School, and he gave me the opportunity to come help him out with the JV team and assist him with the varsity team. And if it wasn't for my experience with him, I don't know if I'd be in coaching right now. It was such a phenomenal experience when I finished playing. I was done playing college ball and wanted to get into coaching while I was still finishing up school. And so thank goodness it just worked out that when I got the job in Idaho, Jeff had recently moved to Idaho. So, you know, the world works in funny ways sometimes, and I guess it was meant to be. So now he's my assistant. He's my, you know, definitely a confidant for me and somebody that I can go to and bounce things off of. He brings me and gives me great ideas every day. And he's not only that, he's such a wonderful human being, such a wonderful person. And I think that goes for our whole staff. Colby Blaine, who's our full-time assistant, you know, at our level, I'm fortunate to have a full-time assistant in Colby, and then Jeff and my other assistants all have full-time jobs, and then they're here every evening for practice and volunteering their time to be there at the games. And so, you know, it's just incredible. I have the greatest staff in the country at this level. It's just amazing. And I really, really appreciate what Jeff brings to the table for me. Really, he's like a father figure in the basketball sense of things. And I really, really appreciate the fortune that I have to have him as a part of our staff with all the experience he's had as a head coach over the years. He really, really helps me, not only in practice, but in game situations, giving me great ideas and great thoughts on the bench.
You know, I hate to bring this up, and I apologize in advance, Scott, but I have seen Warner Pacific and Oregon Tech both play twice this year. They are better than last year. The Cascade Collegiate Conference is going to be unreal this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I know Oregon Tech, you know, they're one of the teams that has almost everybody back from last year. Plus, they added a very, very good player that is eligible for them now. And Warner Pacific's always good. Not surprised at all that Jared's got that team playing well. You know, Southern Oregon is going to be very good again this year. Eastern Oregon, wait till you see them. They are unbelievably talented. They have an incredibly talented team this year, as good as any that's been in our league. So it's going to be a tough, tough conference. It's going to be a heck of a battle, and that's the way the Cascade Conference is. That's why we had four teams in the national tournament last year, 4 out of 32, which is pretty impressive. And, you know, I think the whole country at our level recognizes the kind of competition that goes on out here out west. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be fun. And There's nobody that's going to run through this conference without any losses this year. I can promise you that.
Scott, now with a couple of games under your belt and like you said, six home games coming up, have the new rule changes had any impact on the way you coach and what's your thoughts on them? You know, we're only two or three games in for most teams, but any thoughts on the new rule changes, of which actually there were 19, but some of them really important?
Yeah, well, you know, the 30-second shot clock obviously is a big one, and that really hasn't affected our style of play at all because we play pretty fast anyways. But I think it certainly has affected some things. It's allowed, you know, the defensive possession seems shorter, and, you know, teams that aren't used to that I think are rushing their shots a little bit more. I actually don't know if it's going to be good for offense or a detriment for offense because I think you're going to see more teams in, you know, in containment presses and that are taking time off the clock by pressing you and then getting back into a zone and then switching defenses and making it really hard for offensive teams to adjust. So I still think the jury's out as to whether or not that's going to help offensive basketball at the college level. But the way in which the perimeter game is being called, they're being even more stringent about, you know, anything that anytime you touch a guy, it's a foul. And when he's handling the ball and trying to move in a direction. So that's affected us a little bit because I think you've had to adjust a little bit in terms of how you pressure the basketball. I mean, we are a man-to-man pressure team the last couple of years, and, you know, we've had some guys in foul trouble early in games already this season. So I think we're still trying to adjust to those calls. You know, you're allowed to put an arm bar on a guy in the post now defensively, so that you know, allows you, I think, a little bit. I think that's probably a good thing, and, you know, they allow that in the NBA. They're trying to move things to where, you know, they make the game similar to the pro level. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think that, you know, the game, I mean, why wouldn't we just have the game called the same at every level? I think one thing that's a little frustrating right now is that you've got women's game playing 4 10-minute quarters and the men's game playing 2 20-minute halves. And everybody's got different rules in terms of how many timeouts they have, how they can use their timeouts, and I think that's going to make things very confusing for people at the score table when they're transitioning from the women's game and then to the men's game following. So hopefully that won't be too big of an adjustment, but we'll see how that goes as the season goes on. And it seems like every game we've played in the you know, we've played games against Division II teams, we've played games against NAI teams, and it seems like there's a different set. We've had a TV game already this year, and it seems like there's a different set of rules every single game for how many timeouts you get and whether or not you'll lose a timeout at the half. So, you know, it's a little bit confusing before every game because we've got to figure out what the rules are for that game. But I think once we get to conference play, everybody will have it all sorted out, and by the end of the season, it'll be second nature to all of us.
Scott, was it much of an adjustment at all? If you were on the big stage in Division I as an assistant coach alongside what I consider, and I think anybody that knows anything about basketball, easily one of the top 10 college basketball coaches around in Ben Hallen. And then you come to an NAIA school that wasn't exactly probably the most famous, known that Elgin Baylor played there, but really not known for basketball and so much, and you changed the culture, and that's not demeaning to anybody that's preceded you, but was that quite an adjustment for you yourself?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment, frankly, wasn't about going from a bigger school to a smaller school, but, you know, I was moving from being an assistant coach to a head coach. So for me, it was an exciting opportunity and an exciting adjustment. And it's obviously different. I mean, there's a little something that comes with getting ready for a, you know, a 10 a.m. CBS game against Notre Dame or something that's going to be on TV and televised nationally. There's always a little excitement and things about that. But at the end of the day, and it's funny, asset. I was just having this conversation the other day with one of my former players. He actually asked me that, one of our kids that graduated last year. And I told him when I'm at practice or when the jump ball goes up at a game, I don't notice any difference at all. I mean, literally, there may as well be nobody in the gym. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything but I'm so into the game and focused on what's going on in the game. And it really makes no difference. Basketball is basketball. And, you know, there's certain amenities that come along with being at a place like UCLA in terms of, you know, the amount of staff you have. I think that's one of the biggest adjustments as a head coach at a small college. I mean, I'm, you know, in charge of coaching the team. I'm and also obviously involved in recruiting like I would be at Division I. But I'm also in charge of making sure that we fundraise for our budget. I'm helping market our team. I'm ordering the uniforms, making sure we got the right size shoes for all the guys. I mean, you know, trying to help get pregame meals ready. And those are things that, you know, as an assistant at a high major Division I, I'm not worried about any of that. I'm worried about recruiting and coaching, and that's it. And so, you know, those are the type of things that are a little bit different. But, you know, the recruiting isn't quite as intense because we don't have as many scholarships to fill. So that affords you the time to do that. And so I think it's a great thing. It's a great adjustment. It's been a great growing process for me, and I'm still growing right now and, you know, having a lot of fun where I'm at. I really, really am enjoying it. I work for the best athletic director anywhere at any level in Marty Holley. He is just absolutely the greatest. So I'm very, very fortunate. I feel like I have the best small college job in the country.
Very good. And, you know, speaking of that, close us out tonight, Scott, and you took your valuable time to be on with me tonight. It's been a tremendous program. The least I can do is you got about just under 2 minutes. So give us your best commercial about College of Idaho, the school, and intertwine the basketball program. Fire away.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, College of Idaho is one of the top academic liberal arts colleges in the country, and it's an incredible, incredible academic institution. The alumni here, I mean, 98% of our graduates in the last 6 years have gone on to full-time jobs or full-time master's programs in their first year out of college. So it's a great, great place to get an education. So these kids that are student athletes at our school are really, the emphasis is in the word student. And so I'm really proud of all the athletes at our school and what they go through in their academics as well as in their schooling. And then, you know, you just talk about the support. I mean, we led the country in attendance in the NAI last year in basketball. We were second in attendance this year in football. I mean, it's just that we have a small town atmosphere where they are just so rowdy and excited, and they love to come and support our teams. And yet we're right down the road from Boise. We're 25 minutes from downtown Boise. There's 600,000 people in the valley. So we're not in the middle of nowhere. There's things to do. There's exciting stuff. It's a great area to live. It's an unbelievable area to live. It's an unbelievable school to go to. And yet you get the small town feel of people that are really, truly there to support your team. We go to these other schools that we play all the time, and their biggest crowds sometimes are the games that we come. But there's times that we go to these schools and there's, you know, 100 people in the stands. And we come back to our place and there's 1,700 to 2,000 people in the stands. It's absolutely packed. And we look at that and go, you know, you just pinch yourself and realize how fortunate you are to be at a place like this. And so, you know, it's a great school. It's a great place to be an athlete. And it's a great place to work. The people are unbelievable here. People in Idaho are so, so friendly. Almost over the top. I mean, I'm originally from Los Angeles, and I'm not used to people being so nice. So it's I still have yet to get hawked at driving down the road, and I'm not the greatest driver. I'm from L.A. Nobody knows how to drive in L.A. So, you know, people must be really, really nice out here. That's for sure.
Scott, it's an honor, and I'm humbled to know you, and you've supported me from day one in my efforts, and great to have you on, and have a great season. And I'm coming over to a game this year, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'll catch you as well when you get to the Portland, Oregon area. So thanks a lot, and best in 15-16.
I look forward to. I look forward to you coming out to a game. I'll have a purple College of Idaho shirt ready for you, so you can fit in the crowd. And I really appreciate all that you do. For covering all of the levels of basketball that you cover, but in particular the small college basketball. You do such a wonderful job of covering us and all of us, everybody in the Cascade Conference and beyond, and we all really appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much. Scott Garson, the head men's coach at College of Idaho. Get to know him because he's a tremendous coach. Follow his team. Hey, listeners, thanks for listening. And if I don't catch you again, have a happy Thanksgiving, which I will. But anyway, Good night, Scott. Good night, listeners. Don't forget to make all your free throws.